I guess I should say something before the
I'm losing it!
Yes, welcome to I'm Losing It. I'm your host, Brian Kroc. I have had an amazing weekend. I got to celebrate my birthday. I got to spend time with my family. I got to do a live stream and celebrate with a bunch of amazing fans out there. And I just generally got to spend a great time over the weekend doing a bunch of celebrating. And it was absolutely amazing. Thank you to everyone who wished me a happy birthday. Thank you to Jessica for planning out pretty much two wonderful days for me and making that amazing cake that we had on the live stream. That is just absolutely brilliant. We still have some of it left and we're going through it, but it's we are working our way through it. But yes, thank you to everyone. It was absolutely amazing. But that's not what this episode is actually about. I mean, that would be kind of a cheap episode for me to just come on here and thank everybody for doing the whole birthday thing. This one is actually about the previous video that we posted, which is called My Life at 500 Plus Pounds, Part 1, The History of How I Gained So Much Weight. You can find a link to this video in the description of this podcast or probably posted on any of the social media stuff that this gets shared out to. So if you haven't seen the video, I suggest you go and watch that. This one is a little bit about the comments that I got because overwhelming majority of the comments are awesome. They're just like super great. Everybody is super positive, very happy that I shared it out. And all that. I have not gotten one negative comment in the entire bunch, and that's also great for me. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I actually kind of like the negative comments because it gives me something to laugh at. But I did get a few comments that I thought were very interesting. The first one, and I'm going to touch on this in a later video as well, had to do with me mentioning my father. Several people seemed to really kind of latch on to the fact that I said my father was the PE teacher and a track coach, and he was always a fit guy. My mom was never fit. She was always overweight. And I mean, like you could see even like after giving birth to me, like, you know, she was like that. And then even throughout the rest of my life, she's been overweight. And my mom has been like amazing throughout my entire life anyway. I mean, she is a breast cancer survivor. She is like a lover of books and of knowledge. And she instilled in me my love of science fiction and all of that kind of stuff. Like I really do take after my mother when it comes to that stuff. I take after my father in a lot of other ways though, like all social stuff, music, and like, you know, all that kind of junk. But my father was the PE coach or PE teacher and the track coach at my school. And my father was always out there like running or exercising and doing all that kind of stuff. He was, you know, just that kind of a guy. But some people felt that, you know, he probably was like pressuring me to be skinny. And then like that somehow turned into me gaining weight and something along those lines. My father never once pressured me into trying to lose weight. My father did try to push me physically to do more things. That is true. But that's what you kind of have to do when you're, you know, a track coach and you're trying to push yourself farther. My dad has a saying, he's like, you've got to assume that your opponents are training twice as hard as you. And I mean, it's kind of a true thing. Like if you keep training and pushing yourself harder and harder and harder, then you can achieve higher and higher goals until you get to an elite level, you know, for the most part. Now, obviously I'm not going to go out there and win any 100-yard dash races or anything, but for shot put and discus, I could absolutely push myself farther and throw harder and throw better and like all that kind of stuff. And so like my dad did push me to be better physically. My dad did not push me to lose weight, like ever, as far as I remember. I don't remember him ever saying anything like, maybe you should eat less, maybe you should exercise more, maybe you should do anything like that. My father didn't, like, if he cared about that, he never really seemed to express it. And so I always thought that that was actually really nice. And I'm going to get really more into detail about that in a future episode when I talk to my parents. But there really wasn't anything there that I felt personally pressured by my father to be healthier or to be skinny or to be anything of the sort. So, you know, that I got several questions about that on the comments, and I just kind of wanted to throw that out there that, like, nope, I didn't have like a football dad who was constantly trying to push me to, you know, be captain of the team or, you know, do any of that kind of stuff. My dad just wanted me to be happy and successful at whatever it was that I was putting my mind to. So, but I'll talk about that more later. So a couple of the ones that I did want to answer was somebody actually thought this was really nice. I thought this was really nice. Somebody watched the video and asked, how did you overcome being a bored eater? Was it your relationship with Jessica? Did the diet change help with that? So I am still a bored eater. I know this to be true. And in fact, there are lots of times when I will be, you know, even up at night, like staying up later or whatever, I will actually get up. Like if I'm bored or something like that, I will go to the refrigerator. I will open up the refrigerator and I will look inside. And there's like, you know, maybe there's food in there. Maybe there's something I could possibly eat. Maybe there's some raw veggies or something like that. But I either will eat like raw veggies with maybe some mustard or something like that, or I don't eat anything at all because I'm understanding that, oh, I'm not really hungry right now. I'm more so bored. And it's just trying to figure out when you're actually like just wanting to get something into your stomach and when you're just sort of bored and wanting to change the experience. So that's one way to kind of figure out how to get over that. The second thing with this, my relationship with Jessica had nothing to do with my bored eating. She never cared when I was eating or any of that kind of stuff. Now though, like if she sees me over by the refrigerator, she'll be like, you know, she'll ask what I'm doing and I'll just be like, I don't know, I'm looking for something to eat. And then she's like, really? Like, do you need to eat something? I'm like, no, but I'm just bored. And then I shut the door and then I go back to doing whatever it was that I was doing before. But that's all now. Like before we lost the weight, Jessica didn't care what I did as far as eating was concerned, unless I was like eating her food and then she would have been like, no. So no, the relationship with Jessica didn't change any of that as well. But for now, I will say that a couple of the things that actually helped me fight being a bored eater is one, setting a time frame to where I would either eat a meal and then have a time frame after that to where I wouldn't eat another meal. So it was, you know, usually it was between like 3 and 5 hours. It was kind of depending on what I was doing on that particular day. So I could either eat, like, you know, let's say eat dinner. Like suppose I ate dinner or something or no, let's go with lunch. Let's go with lunch, people. Suppose I ate lunch at like 1 o'clock. All right. I would deliberately not eat anything else until, say, 5 or 6, like that later on that night. Or usually what it was is I would wait until Jessica was ready to eat a salad, and then we would eat the salad and then go from there. So that's one way to do it. Set a time frame after your last meal to which you would then eat again. Another way to do it is to have like, I call it window eating. Other people like to, you know, be like, well, it's intermittent fasting. Well, okay, whatever. So I will either not eat anything until a particular start time. And then once I get to an end time, then I won't eat anything for the rest of the night. You know, you can kind of base that on whatever it is that you like. But suppose I like 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is like my cutoff window or something for nighttime eating. It's like, I'll eat right up until that point, maybe, you know, or I'll get like a snack just before that. And then after that, like, nope, no more, nothing else. I'm limiting this. I'm stopping this right now. And then that's it. That's what I cut off as far as a time frame goes. Another thing, though, that I have discovered in the last few months, and I've always been a tea drinker. Like, I love iced tea, but I also am a hot tea drinker. I love drinking hot tea. And I discovered that there all of these other like flavored teas that were out there, these have worked really, really well for me whenever I am getting to the kind of like that bored hunger state. And the reason why I think it helps is because I have to make the tea. So it's the process of creating the thing for me. And that is, I go over to the pitcher, I fill it up, I set it to boil, I boil the water, I pour it into the mug, I put in the tea bag and stuff like that. You know, sometimes I will use like a no calorie sweetener of some kind, usually Splenda. I've really actually been wanting to try the monk fruit stuff because I know several of the doctors out there have talked about like monk fruit, raw monk fruit and stuff, and like how that's better for you. And so I'll do something like that. If I, you know, I'll use the no calorie sweetener if I'm wanting just something a little bit sweeter than what the normal tea tastes like. And then, I, you know, have to sit there and I'll wait for the tea to kind of cool off a little bit. You know, maybe I'll add in a splash of almond milk or something like that. And then I have myself this lovely hot treat that I get to drink, you know, over the next 15, 20 minutes or so. And then like that like sort of satisfies that craving of creating something and then consuming it. But I don't have any of the same, like I don't have any additional caloric intake from it. So that's one thing that has really, really helped me. And I've got several from several different teas from like Bigelow and Taze or whatever it is, and that kind of stuff. And then I've got a bunch of other black teas from like Twinings and some other small shops from around the country or even in other countries actually that I purchased stuff at. So I have an entire drawer full of tea stuff that I use to make that. And that has actually been one of the best things for me over the last couple of months is that like whenever I get that bored hunger moment, it's like, bang, you know, make myself a cup of tea, enjoy that. And then I am good for a little while longer. Not to mention, I think having something hot in your stomach just makes it all the better for you. But one final comment that I really wanted to get to here. And I'm going to read this entire thing, and then I'm going to kind of explain a little bit more about it because I felt that it needed to be explained better than what I could say in the video. And this one I thought was fascinating. And I almost wrote out an entire response to it on the post, but then I was like, you know what? I can actually talk about this on the podcast. And it starts out like this. I find it just unbelievable, Brian, that you got so disconnected from your body that you let this weight just build up like that. You strike me as a person who is not only very intelligent, but also sensitive and very much in touch with his feelings and emotions. I actually think of you as a great example of a very sound and mentally healthy person. Well, thank you. And this is not that common, especially among men. And then in like a parentheses, it is a generalization, and of course, I don't mean to offend anybody, but men are usually less connected to their emotional side, not even mentioning their unwillingness to share them with anybody. Then conclude parentheses. So I find it all very confusing, and I'm just wondering whether there are any deeper layers to that. Basically, I'm reading this as them saying that because I am in touch with my emotions and I acknowledge them and I am an intelligent person, that they don't understand how I could just have a disconnect between my body and my emotions. Well, I will say this. First off, and I don't want to sound like that I'm being antagonistic or being defensive about it because I'm really not. I really just want to answer the questions answer the question that was proposed. I never really exist in my body. And I don't really know how how people will understand this. I've always sort of thought of my body as just the transport, if that makes any sense, for my mind, for my soul, for, you know, all of this other stuff that is Brian. And to me, Brian is not, you know, the body. Brian is the mind. Brian is the spirit. Brian is the emotions and that. Brian is why is so weird talking about myself in a third person. You know, I am my actions. I am my words. I am that kind of stuff. Yes, I know that I am also, like, I consider myself to be a big guy because I am. Physically, I am a large man. I am 6'6", and, you know, I'm still 300 pounds. And so, like, I'm just a big dude in general. So for me, though, like, I never really felt like I was, like, my body was that important, you know? Like, I just, when I say that I didn't care, that's really what I'm talking about. I'm saying that I didn't care about how my body was, because my body wasn't that important. My spirit, my actions, my mind, all of that was way more important than my body was. And my body was there to experience the world. So, you know, tactile, whatever, you know, it was there to touch, feel, taste, and move. That's the entire purpose, was to give me sensory information that my mind could then process and use from there. So as you can see, that has nothing to do with, like, my emotional state, because my body doesn't have emotions. I have emotions. My body is just another part of me, but that part of me does not have emotions. And then the other thing that I wanted to say about this, though, was that I never cared what I looked like. I mean, people talk about body positivity and stuff like that. I didn't really have, like, I mean, I didn't have body positivity, but I didn't have body negativity either. I just didn't care about what I actually looked like. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. Like, I dressed for, like, comfort and my own sense of style. I don't care about what anybody else's sense of style is. And I don't care if they think that my sense of style is absolutely horrendous. I mean, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and nobody else can really tell me any other way of doing that, because I'm doing it for me. And, you know, that's it. Like, I'm not telling them how to dress, so why do they get to tell me how to dress? Also, it's like I said, I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I mean, jump back even further than that. I never expected to get married in the first place, because I never expected anybody to actually love me, right? And I know it sounds really dark, actually, and really sad. I don't know. I never figured that anybody out there was really, like, this is a bit harder to explain. Okay, so I'd always hoped and prayed that I would meet somebody that I could marry. But by the time I was in my 20s and I hadn't met anybody, and I knew that I hadn't met anybody that I was going to marry, I was just sort of under the impression that, well, you know, maybe it's not in the cards for me. Maybe God doesn't want me to get married. And then Jessica came into my life, and it was just like bing, bang, boom, everything fell into place. And I was like, yep, this is the girl I'm going to marry. And that happened. I mean, I knew I was going to marry her very quickly. That relationship still, like, I wasn't trying to impress Jessica. You know, I loved Jessica. She loved me. And so there was nothing there that I was trying to do to make her necessarily proud of me. And she didn't care about what I looked like. I mean, she married me when I was super fat. And she met me when I was super fat. And we had always been super fat. And so, like, I mean, I didn't care. She didn't care about what size I was. I didn't care about what size she was. And I've said this before, that for her, I wanted her to be happy. If that meant that she was happy at 300 pounds, then I would be great. Awesome. You know, as long as you're happy, that's what I care about the most. She wasn't happy when she was almost 300 pounds. And so that's when part of it was like, well, maybe if we lose the weight, you know, especially since she'd lost it before, maybe if she loses the weight again, then she'll be happier. And so that was one of the reasons why I thought, hey, let's change this up and actually lose the weight. But yes, I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I wasn't trying to win any popularity contests or do anything like that. I didn't care what I actually looked like. Jessica didn't care what I looked like, as far as I could tell. And nobody else seemed to be really bothered by how fat I was. They just liked me for me being the funny, weird guy that I was. So, you know, That's really it. You want to talk about a disconnect from my body? That's really what it was. Is that like, and I know I say this a lot, but and in the video, I say that I didn't care. I just didn't care. And that goes for all of that. I didn't care about what my body was doing. I didn't care about how I looked. I didn't care if I was super overweight. And even now, I really don't care what I look like still. I don't care about anything in particular, but what I do care about is not dying young and leaving Jessica alone. And that's why I said that in the video, is that I'm not trying to lose the weight so I can be this skinny person. I'm trying to lose the weight so I can be a healthy person, so I can live longer. And that's really it. That is my entire motivation. I am losing the weight because I want to live longer, spend a longer life with Jessica, and enjoy more life in general. So, yeah, I had a disconnect from my body. I still have a disconnect from my body. But at the same time, I understand that the body is what is keeping everything else alive. And so I need to keep that sucker going so I can then live out more years on this earth with the people I love. And that's it. That's really all it is. It's got nothing to do with my emotional intelligence or general intelligence or how in touch with my emotions I am, although Jessica accuses me of not having emotions sometimes. Like I said in one of the other videos, that she's called me a Vulcan before. And that is true. Like I am very self-aware. I am a type of person who analyzes what I think. I analyze what I do, and I try to figure out if I am letting any of the other normal pitfalls come into play. You know, do I have some type of a cognitive dissonance? Do I have am I trying to have confirmation bias in what I'm pursuing right now? Why do I believe the things that I believe? Why do I analyze things in the way I analyze them? Am I seeing the world in the way that I want to see it, or am I seeing it in the way that it should be seen? These are all questions that I ask myself constantly. And because I ask myself these things constantly, I think I've got a pretty good baseline for how I am and the way that I am supposed to be. I understand what my faults are. I have always understood what my faults are. But as I said in the video, I just didn't care. I focused on my strengths, and that was it. I never really focused on any of the other things out there that could be a weakness for me, because to me, the body didn't matter anyway. And now I understand that the body is vitally important. I mean, I understood the body was vitally important before, but it's like I said, I just didn't care. So hopefully this is a better explanation for these few things that happened in the video that I didn't really touch on a whole lot. And I'm hoping that the people who pose these types of questions in the comments actually listen to this. I know one of them definitely will. I really hope that you guys pick up what I'm trying to say and not just telling me that I'm in denial about certain things, because I ask myself if I'm in denial quite often about any particular thing that happens to be going on at the same time. But I try to really think about things, really be introspective. I pray about it. I ask for guidance. I ask for wisdom, and I try to figure out what the next step for me should be. But I think that's it for this episode. Please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform it is that you were finding this on. You can do all the other stuff too if you want to share it out and do all that kind of fun stuff. That always is great for growing any kind of a podcast. But I really hope that you guys enjoyed this one. I'll see you next time on I'm Losing It. Bye.